but some of you probably have a better understanding just through experience and understanding this, years of going to this passage, because this is a favorite. This is a hard one to accept at times, because it says, count it all joy in the midst of your trials. But as you understand this again, James is writing to the scattered tribes of Israel, but to the Christians. Okay, and that's very, very important, because a lot of these letters that we go into throughout the New Testament is focused on Christians. So these promises that are made are for those who are in Christ. If you're not a Christian, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because only a child of God receives the inheritance. You can't be outside of the family. And that's not because God hates you and wants to seclude you away from and doesn't want to include you. Believe me, He gave you options. And so if you aren't a child, you can have that option here this evening to become one. And it's having faith. You say, is it easy? Yes and no. Say yes, because Jesus did all the work. I referenced that this morning. He went to the cross for us. You say, why wouldn't it be easy? Because you have to deny yourself. You have to say that there is no other way to heaven than I can create. I acknowledge that fact. And you know, it's really difficult to say no to myself. It's really difficult to humble myself and say, God, your way is the only way. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so when we see that here tonight and we're seeing what's going on, he is talking to Christians. He made the connection, the family connection, identified with them. He says, we're in this together. He says, he called them to count it all joy when you're in the midst, not when you're out of it. He also talks to them about, here's the reason why it's got to play out. There is this growing. You've got to be able to see where your faith is so that you can grow. You are not a perfect person, but it says that let patience have her perfect work so that you may be perfect. I say, finally, I get to say I'm perfect. No, we discussed that last week. It just means mature. It means mature. There's a maturity in the sense when I finally stop going to the resources that I have around me for answers to my trials and start going to the God of the heavens to help me in my trials. We discussed the Burgess. We're discussing the safest place to be. And doesn't necessarily mean Taylorville, Illinois, or Flint, Michigan, or out in the middle of nowhere where I was living, because last week they found an alligator going through a creek just a few blocks away from the church. I'm thinking, in Michigan, for crying out loud, you'd think you'd be safe away from those alligators. But it turns out there was a reptile sanctuary up there. And you know, we came to this conclusion that I think as you look at the Word of God, you will always come to this conclusion. The safest place to be is in the will of God. And that's where in our peace. Have you ever thought about this? God calls you to peace that passes all understanding. But then he also states that you're in a constant battle. So take on the armor of God. Does that coincide? You want to be in peace, but then you have the armor of God. Huh. That means that whatever happens to this body is okay because I know where I'm going. That means that whatever God you want to do with this body, that you've given me that's temporary, because I know you have something far beyond me, that you have a purpose that's far beyond me. It doesn't matter whether you take me at 29 or 929. God, you have a purpose, and I give myself to you. That's where the peace comes from, because he's got me. I'm in his hand. And so that's where we rest and we find that, count it all joy. There's a reason. There's a maturity. But as we come into this, you say, so what's the next step? I need my how to. Okay. And there's really no detailed instructions where they say you have to take this, nut and bolt and put it into this, a place in your futon as you're building it. And you take this mattress and place it in this direction. Or when I just built the desk in my office, and man, there's a lot of parts to that desk, and you question why there's so many, but then they gave you detailed, and I had to look at it a few times sometimes in order to get it all together, but it looks okay. I mean, you can go check it out if you want. Just don't take it home with you. I need that here. It looks really nice, but there's detailed instructions. You know what? Sometimes, we don't have those detailed instructions to where, okay, you get out of bed at 6:30 in the morning, and then you need to go and brush your teeth, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. We don't necessarily have that, but he does give you a plan in the midst of each and every trial. Count it all joy. Here's a reason. You're going to grow. Now what? It says there in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, this is a, if you could call it a duh statement. This is a statement where when you come back into it, you'll see that this is actually a universal statement. And that's why I come to point number one, the universal statement. If any of you lacks wisdom, or some preachers have come in and the word that's there in the Greek can actually point to since you lack wisdom. Because if we all take a step back, we understand that we don't know how to get through life perfectly. There has to be some sort of outside source. There has to be someone that I can look to. I mean, as I try to fix my vehicle at times, as I try to fix things on my house, there's a lot of times where I have to go to that fancy place on the internet called YouTube. Right? Because I don't know how to do it. Sometimes I gotta go to Dad. Sometimes I gotta go to somebody in the church that knows what they're doing in order to figure out how to accomplish this feat without having to do it 3 times and going back to the store 500 times. I mean, there is some wisdom that I can grasp. And you say, well, what is wisdom? And how would these Jewish people understand this? Well, when you first talk about wisdom, what do you think about? Or if you are a Jewish person, what would you think about? You think about Proverbs, correct? In Proverbs 1:7, it should be on the screen there for you. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You say, so what is wisdom? Wisdom is how to apply knowledge. And so when the Jews would come in and they'd see and they'd hear about wisdom, they'd hear about knowledge, where does it start? I must fear God before I can grasp truth. I must know that truth before I can apply that and take that to action. Listen, your beliefs, what you believe, affects how you live. And that's what we talked about several weeks ago, in the fact of our faith being in action. We have to believe first before we actually do. And you will find out, I find out, what I really do believe when trials smack me in the face. What am I trusting in? Who do I run to? What a perfect song. Thank you, Caitlin. I hide in you, my refuge. What a perfect song. I have to go to God. So as we're coming back to this universal statement, how do we understand this? Well, if you were the Jewish people, you automatically go back to Proverbs, where it's talking about all kinds of wisdom. And how to start is to start with God and fearing Him. You say, so I have to be afraid of Him? Well, you know, this is harder since my dad's here. But when you understand what fear is, it's not just a matter of he swings the paddle harder, and so I must fear. But it's also the matter of respect, and that this is difficult to also figure out, that he knows more than I do. Right? Some of you are really questioning what I'm saying right now, right? There, I just pulled a whammy. Yeah, there you go. I fixed it. But anyway, as you look to your Heavenly Father, when you see Him, I fear Him in the way that He could punish me when I do wrong. That is within His job description. That's within His character. He is a holy and a righteous God. And so when I do wrong, I should have punishment. But yet I am also in awe of Him, in the sense that Steve and I were just talking beforehand, and he was surprised that I brought up Calvinism and Arminianism, and I saw some of your faces, and you were pretty shocked too. But, you know, I don't know. I like to step on the edge every once in a while. Nobody killed me yet. So we're good there. But anyway, you say, can you really fully understand the spectrum of God's sovereignty and human free will and put it all together and fully understand and comprehend the depth of that? No. Say, why? Because if we understood everything that God understands and how He put everything together, then wouldn't we classify ourselves as God? And so He is different than us. He's transcendent. He's over us. We must turn and be in awe. He said, God, I just don't understand. That's okay. Because God does. He made it. He's got His hand over us. And that's where we come back to, okay, I must be in awe of Him. So if you're in awe of Him, if you understand that He can punish you whenever you do wrong, when you just stand back in His love, in His faithfulness, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we step back in that awe, you see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And once you start believing these things, you understand how to apply wisdom. So if any of you lack wisdom, yeah, that's me. That's you. Good. Now you all realize that you're here and you need something tonight, right? You can't check out. As you go into this universal statement and you understand what's happening here, say, if any of you lack wisdom, good luck. Isn't that what it says in the next part of that verse? No, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the government and he shall give of you all that he has. Oh, I don't see that. Oh, sorry. If any of you lack wisdom, let us ask of the educational system. No. Oh, here's a better one. If any of you lack wisdom, let's ask pastor and he's got all of it. I said pastor, not assistant pastor. So you're good. No. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally. You say men? It doesn't. What about women? Yes. That's humanity. Our God is not a sexist God. And I really appreciate that. I love that about our God. But as He comes in, He says, gives to all liberally and upbraideth not. You say, so what does that mean? Well, when we come back here, we find the universal statement that applies to all of us. And we also got to find the source here. What's the source? It's God. We got to go ask Him for that wisdom that we need to go on through life. We need to ask him, and what does he do? Well, he gives abundantly, generously. He's got more than what we could handle. He's got more than all of us could handle. He can handle us all at once and the whole entire world combined because he is our sovereign creator. By him, all things consist. Colossians. All things are here for him. I mean, that's it. That's Jesus Christ right there. He is the preeminent one. He can handle it. So let's go to him and ask, because he's going to give it. And he upbraideth not. You say, that's not usually a term that I use. Well, it's in the idea that he doesn't, whenever we go before him and ask, God, can you please help me in this instance? I have no idea. Have you ever been there? I have no idea how I'm going to face this. This is over my head. I don't have the how-to. God, please just give me, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my, all I need is the next step, God. That, I'm so desperate right now. Could you just give me the next step? And see, this is what God could do. God could come before us and he says, you puny human. You know nothing. You better come begging to me. You better get on the ground and beg for wisdom. You see, it's the idea that he doesn't criticize us for coming to ask. Have you ever been in that type of a situation? Where you go and ask somebody for help, you have no idea. They make fun of you. They criticize you. They scold you for even coming and asking. And then they, you know, 3 days later after they're done criticizing you, they finally give it to you. And you think, well, that would have been a lot easier if you had just given it to me, right? What does it do? It provokes to anger, really. It makes people frustrated. It makes people give up because they don't know. And if you've ever done that to somebody, here's my best counseling. Stop it. Just quit. Because when we belittle other people, what does it do? That lack of respect only makes them hate Christianity and God more. If you got it, give it. Love them. Don't belittle. Here it is. But this is what God does to us. Now I'm going to give you an illustration where you can throw me under the bus, but don't use it against me. A few weeks ago, have you ever heard of a hoverboard? Yeah? You probably watched many of the fail videos online. It's funny. It's stress management for me. I love watching where they run right into the wall. Isn't that hilarious? You haven't seen that? Look it up on YouTube afterwards. All right, so as you're watching that, you know, I was allowed to use a hoverboard. And you're thinking, great, fail videos. I didn't fall. Praise the Lord. I still have all my bones. We're good. But I was thinking, this is so much fun. I'm thinking, I could use this for like the introduction into VBS. I could just go down the aisleway, man. Those kids, whoa, yeah. And then I wipe out and go into the pew. And, yeah, and they go, oh, yeah. They'd be all so excited. I don't know. They hate me. They want me to get hurt and get hit by water balloons and get pies in the face. I don't know. But I just thought, hey, this would be cool. So I put out over Facebook. I said, so if anybody has any hoverboards, you know, sitting in their closet, just let me know. I'll take it off your hands, you know, if it's collecting dust. And, you know, this is what Josh Clayton does. And I can use him because he's not here. He says, I got a 2x4. And you know what I was thinking? Okay, I'm going to explain it to you. Don't make fun of me. I'm telling you. This was my gullible moment. See, there's an off-roading hoverboard. And then there's one that you could use on the sidewalk. You can use on the roadway. So I'm thinking, oh, it's one of those that you could use on the roadway. I could go down the, you know, carpet on that. That's no big deal. And I'm thinking, you know, so what is this? Is this some special wording? He says, no, it's a board. I said, oh, well, keep that so I can hit you over the head with it once I get to Taylorville. You know, and he still makes fun of me over it. And you're thinking, I was just calling out for wisdom. And Josh turns around and uses it against me. Thank you, Josh. So never ask Josh Clayton for wisdom. I think that's why he's no longer the team leader back there. I don't know. He'll probably watch this. Don't worry. We're friends. I'll tell him to his face. But as you get into that, you think, okay, so some people make fun of you for asking for wisdom. God doesn't do that. So it should take away any excuse for us to be able to go before him and ask him for wisdom to be able to get through the trial. That's the beauty of our God. He is a heavenly Father who will find out later on. By the way, you can read ahead if you want to. But in later on in chapter 1, it talks about how he's our heavenly Father and he gives good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father in heaven. Woo! I get excited every once in a while. I hope that doesn't bother you. It shouldn't. God's good, and he gives us what we need. So we need to find the source. But you know there is a stipulation. So, oh yeah, there's the fine print. Here we go again. Here's the fine print. What's at stake? It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You say, well, what is this talking about? It's talking about, listen, if you're going to ask God, the creator of heaven, the sovereign God, for wisdom, believe that he's going to give it to you. Believe that he's got it together. Believe that what he says is right. See, a lot of people go to the Word of God and they question every word that's in there. Oh, I can't believe that. That's not reasonable. How could a God create the heavens, you know, and the earth and speak and therefore it exists? And how could it be within 6 days? And how could he create mankind? And how could he have control over all? And how could there be a global flood? And how could he create the Word of God and it last for so long? And how could he really send his Son to die for us? And how could he make prophecies and they actually come fulfilled? How can he do this? How can he do that? He's God. And you know, there's certain things that we must believe. Otherwise, it's pointless. First of all, we got to believe that what he says is true. We have to believe that he is enough. We have to believe that he can save us. We have to believe that his stipulations are okay and it's reasonable. But what about society? They question everything that I'm saying and they get mad at me. Guess what? Jesus said they will hate you because they've hated me. Get used to it. That's a paraphrase. You can look it up. That's your homework. But you get the point. What we say, what we do, people might not like it. People won't like it. They'll go against it. They don't want this to work out because guess what? Satan is working throughout this world. He doesn't want God to win. But I've read the last chapter. He wins. And he whoops. I mean, it's just a done deal. And there's no, well, I think they might tie. We might have to go into overtime. No, no, no. He wins. It's a blowout. There's a mercy rule. It's a done deal. So why don't we go to him with faith? Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven from the wind and tossed. See, we're not by the ocean. I understand that. I'm thankful because then you get eaten by sharks and then there's this bacteria that you die from and things like that. And it's just crazy. I just don't. And then the water tastes horrible. Take a big old gulp. Oh, it's hilarious when people go to the ocean for the first time and they jump into the water. They take a big old gulp, and then they're like, oh, I can't stand this. Get me out of here. You know, get me back to the middle of nowhere. I like the Midwest. Yeah, I like it too, you know. But in fresh water, it's great. No sharks, okay? So, but you say, I just don't really understand the statement. Well, think about it this way. Get into our, we'll do a church activity tonight. How about, well, maybe next week because we've got snack. We'll get on the shuttle bus and we'll let you stand in the aisleway. And then Barry's going to be driving down the road and he gets to brake whenever he wants to. And he's not going to easy brake, he's going to hard brake. And then he's going to gun it, okay? You know, there's a person within our church, his name is Bobby Hollister, who loved to stand up while we were going on teen activities. And guess what? Pastor McPhillips was her youth pastor that never loved to have fun and anything. So, you know, when she got up and stood up to try to go and talk to somebody, spread some gossip, he would never press on that brake. Never ever, because he was the nicest guy and he'd never do a prank on him and anybody, right? He's never taken that verse that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and taken that out of context and emphasized the wrong word. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. No, he's never done. But guess what? That would happen all the time. She'd stand up, walk down the aisle, boom, break. She'd fall forward. You say, why are you trying to do this? Trying to get pastor in trouble? No. It's past the 7 years, so you can't blame him for anything, okay? It's past the 7 years. It's all wiped clean. Jesus forgave him, so you're good. Your teens are out of the youth group. You're good. All right, so, but what am I talking about? It's when you aren't on a good foundation and you aren't holding on to the refuge. I hide in you. I run to you. Guess what? You're going back and forth. You're going all over the place. You're just like a wave tossed to and fro. And he says, if you don't ask in faith, if you don't believe that I can do what I say that I can do, that I'm the God of the heavens, that I'm enough, that I can give you the wisdom liberally, generously, without mocking you, without criticizing you, if you don't believe it, don't expect to get anything. That's what it says. That's exactly what it says. Is a wave of the sea tossed about, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Well, that's intense. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What are you talking about? Well, it's all going back to that point where it says, when you let patience have her perfect work, you'll lack nothing. Say, why? Because I can go to God at any moment and he gives me exactly what I need. I don't have to go anywhere else. See, that's our problem though. We like to be independent. We like to go our own way. We like to have it our own way in our own fashion. And that's the way that we try to live our lives. And when things go bad, we go to our self-help books at Barnes & Noble, or we go to our best friend that we think that they've got it all in life. And yet we never run to God, who is our refuge. So somebody who's constantly running back and forth is never stable. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. I don't know what to rely on. Should I go to God or should I go to this person? Or what does this YouTuber say? And what's that person say? And that. And they're going back and forth. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Embrace the source. This past week, I heard about a popular author, pastor. I don't know if you've heard of Joshua Harris. He wrote, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. He wrote, Stop Dating the Church. I don't know if you've read those. We've got some of those books in our library. I found out this week that recently he just divorced his wife. And he's described himself as destructuring his own faith. And he says Christians would label it as falling away from the faith. He's gone off and he's apologized to the LGBTQ group and said, "I'm so sorry for not supporting the equality in marriage, and I'm so sorry for standing on this, and so sorry." And he says, "There's people from all walks of life coming and helping me out with this," and they said that there's other ways to show your faith. There's other ways to be able to do that. And he says, "I might be researching that." I'm thinking that's so sad. So the first thing that we like to do is criticize when somebody walks away, correct? It's easy to do that. It's easy to shoot our wounded. It's easy to backbite because it's just easier to justify ourselves in that. Do you know, I'd ask for your prayer for this man who's been on the front lines helping teenagers with understanding love and the way God intended it to be. I understand. I'd ask you to pray for this man who used to be a pastor, who used to love his wife in the best way possible. I don't know all the details. I don't know what led him to that point. But listen, we need to be in prayer for this man, because I saw this article it was something atheist was the website. Man, they're eating this up. Oh, somebody's denying the faith. Somebody's denying the faith. Man, we should be praying for him. Don't walk away from the faith. There was something that made him question that God was enough and that God was the right way. And it could have been Christians. So what are you talking about? When I was up at Dayton, and it doesn't matter where you go, people come and they go. And one of the number one reasons is because of someone else in the church. So what's going on? We're not looking into the author and finish of our faith. You say, but it was their fault. And then we get caught up on that. Like it's our job to judge them. Like it's our job to shun them. Like it's our job. Maybe it's just our job to pray for them. To love them. And maybe not criticize anyone, but encourage in the truth. I've made a lot of mistakes. Maybe I've said some things that I shouldn't have. But I think if each one of us was up behind the pulpit, at some point we'd make a bad decision. So what am I calling us to? Back to the Word. Back to Hebrews 12. Looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down before the throne of righteousness. Life is tough. Do y'all agree with me? Trials hit. Y'all agree with me? Sometimes we run the wrong way. Still in agreement? Guess what we need? Someone to come along, grab our hand, even when it gets bent, and pull back. Say, better get bit all the time. I'm done. I quit. Jesus didn't. He's the perfect example. So how do we manage this? Is anybody in here going to be perfect? No. But we go back to verse 2, my brethren. My brethren count it all joy. Makes the connection. We must love one another. And we must understand that when we mess up, we need to love one another back to Jesus. Sometimes that takes correction. And that's tough to get. I've gotten it. You've gotten it. But man, we need that. We need Christ. I hope this affected you here tonight in this passage. Have faith. Embrace the source. Find the source. Understand that we don't have all the wisdom in the book. Pray. Think. As you notice people in this church, in these pews, or if you notice that they're not here, also notice this, they're dealing with a lot more than you realize. You'd come to tears every single Sunday just looking at people if you understood the battle that is being waged in their marriage, in their family, in their school. Pray. Have faith. God can give us the wisdom as a church to come together. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your awesome word. And Lord, it's so difficult when we see people like Joshua Harris that walk away from the faith. And God, we're not above this. We need to take this as a warning. And Lord, just help us to focus on you. Keep Jesus in mind and the grace that he has. The mercy. God, we're so thankful that you love us. Give us the mercy. Give us that forgiveness. You are faithful. Lord, help us to embrace this, to have faith, to put that in action. Lord, just help us to embrace one another. Help us to love each other through this. Life's difficult. And we need you. We need each other. God, you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen.